what's up, man? It's Falcon Cast time. John Michaels, Jay Adams, DJ Shockley. I'm just disappointed. So I've got kind of my head in my hand. I'm off to the side. I don't know what to say. It's kind of painful right now, guys. I thought we'd come back from Tampa and be 7-5 and still be in the mix. And unfortunately, Jameis Winston ran over some people and Tampa scored. And the Falcons now sit at 6-6 and a huge test coming up this week, I guess is the best way to say it. It's past the test. It's a moment in the season where you have a chance to be the talk of the National Football League if you could somehow upset the Carolina Panthers.
This smile is fake.
That's not real.
It's completely fake. boy, I mean, where do you even start on this? It's unbelievable.
I want to go back to this when we were 5-0. We're making all our signs and
we were feeling really good then.
Now we start the show like this, we just go,
we were really into it then.
It was awesome. Yeah.
It was. It was fun times.
It was fun times. And we even said, you know, before we were like, well, we used to sing before we came on and then we stopped doing that and maybe we're the reason why we lost. And then so you guys sang. I didn't know the song. So we'll probably lose again.
Hey, you guys, make sure you hit up Jay. Tell him about the 5 heartbeats.
Yes. Yeah, I never heard of it.
He's never heard of the 5 heartbeats and Eddie Kane. So we got to make sure he knows about the 5 heartbeats.
I need to. Because I need to be able to sing with you guys.
Before we get into the football, what happened here? Either one of you guys seen Creed yet?
No, I need to. Oh. I need to. Don't ruin it for me.
Unbelievable. One of the best movies I've ever seen. Shock. I know you agree.
I'm a Rocky fan, so I think I was gonna love it regardless, but it was awesome. Yeah. I mean, it definitely exceeded expectations. There's a guy that I know who's like a film critic, and he was raving about it. Like, I want to go see it twice type raving about it. So it's definitely a movie that you want to go see for real.
I'm a huge boxing fan, so I'm really surprised I haven't made the time to go see it.
Well, here's the thing. There's not a lot to do in Carolina outside of the game on Sunday. Go see Creed Saturday night. There's no football on because Army-Navy will be over. The Heisman Trophy, if you really want to watch that.
Yeah. I might do that.
You can find out on social media really quickly who won the Heisman Trophy.
Who's your pick?
Probably got to go with the guy from Alabama.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, you got to go with Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Even though I think Deshaun Watson's been overlooked. He's been overlooked a lot. That guy had 41 touchdowns, 4,400 yards total. Deshaun Watson's really good. And probably not a lot of people have seen Christian McCaffrey. That dude can play.
Yeah, just because he's on the West Coast, I think a lot of people haven't seen him. But he is balling. Every time I look up on a highlight, he's on it.
I don't know if we're allowed to do this on Falcon Cast. This is probably a better topic on talk radio, on a Wednesday in June. Your best white running back. We haven't seen a guy like Christian McCaffrey in a long time. I mean, that guy can move.
What's Danny Werfel looking like?
Well, that's a quarterback.
That's my Heisman pick.
Right now, 2015.
Jim Brown.
That's when I stopped paying attention to football, college football.
Okay.
Werfel's a good dude, man.
Well, let's talk some pro football.
I'm sure he's pleasant. No, let's not.
No, okay. We'll stick with the college football.
Let's just keep doing this. Name one thing that makes you happy.
Going to Vegas in February. How about that?
That's nice. That's good.
For real?
Yeah, I am going to Vegas.
Me and my wife are thinking about going to Vegas.
I'm glad you said that because before the show I was getting texts. My woman, I guess the guys at her job said, what kind of guy is he? Who takes his woman to Vegas? Well, she's never been to Vegas. She wants to go. I said, couples go all the time. What are you talking about?
You can have a blast with your wife or other
significant other in Vegas. So you take the wifey to Vegas?
Oh, yeah. It was the same thing. My wife had never been to Vegas, and I took her to Vegas a couple years ago for a first time, and she loved it. So.
Okay. So her first time will be – it's her Valentine's / birthday gift.
Nice.
So we're going to Vegas.
Nice.
I've never been to Vegas. You're not taking me.
Oh, you've never been to Vegas. Jay, you ought to come. Valentine's weekend.
Look, I have there no will problem be a lot being of single the third women wheel, there. The fifth wheel, whatever, the seventh wheel. I'll be whatever wheel.
Those are the guys that usually catch everything.
Yeah. Mm. You'll have a good time in Vegas.
Wait, I don't know if I want to catch everything in Vegas.
not literally.
Yeah. No, they're there. They are there
they
for you.
They got that, man.
Never been to Vegas?
Never been to Vegas.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Neither have I, so I'll take you, Jay.
We'll go.
Yeah, but Bosek, you're like 22. You're not supposed to be to Vegas yet.
All right.
Jay, you're in your 30s. You need to go to Vegas. Although, I can't say much. I didn't go to Vegas until I was like 38. So.
Well, then what are you giving me a hard time for?
Because I've been now.
I'm there, so it's always done.
Act like you're the mayor of it.
It's crazy. I waited till 38 to go. I paid for my own trip. And then, you know, lucky in this business, we get a chance to do stuff with HBO. And then I went to 2 straight fights like 3 months apart.
That's what I want.
So I got to go to Vegas like 3 times in a year period.
I
want to
see a fight.
Me too.
It's awesome. I got to see Pacquiao. Yeah. He beat up Tim Bradley.
I want to see my boy GGG. That's Gennady Golovkin, man.
Yeah. We talked about him on Twitter.
Gennady Golovkin. Oh. Best biter out, best fighter out there right now.
Oh, really?
The best biter would be
best
Mike Tyson.
Best biter would be Mike Tyson. Best
so I
fighter.
You said the best biter.
I want to see him take on Canelo so bad.
Shock, you don't know who Gennady Golovkin is?
No, not ringing any bells for me.
Okay. Big drama show. He brings a big drama show.
Oh, yeah. He's the anti-Floyd Mayweather. He actually fights.
He actually fights.
Yeah, he'll so throw hands.
Does he talk more junk than or Conor McGregor?
He's the nicest guy. Yeah. He's from Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
You know Borat?
Kazakhstan?
He's from Kazakhstan. He's the nicest guy. He's always complimentary. He says he's going to put on a big drama show. Everybody wants to see the big drama show.
What is it now? 22 straight knockouts for Triple G? Yes. 22 or
22 straight?
Oh, yeah. He puts them hands on people.
Dude.
Hands.
You need to spend the afternoon on YouTube just looking
up. Just look up Gennady Golovkin. Triple G.
Triple
G. Okay.
Take a look, man.
What weight limit is he in?
He's a middleweight.
Middleweight.
Yeah. Middleweight?
Middleweight champ.
22 straight knockouts.
Yeah. Right, he puts hands. Now, the Falcons could use 22 straight knockouts
for the season. Yeah.
Can we get one?
Just one.
I'll take one right now. I need a win so bad, guys. My morale is just...
Well, that's why we spent the first 10 minutes not talking about football. I see an actual smile from you.
Yes.
We said Triple G, and you just perked up.
That was it. That was your spot.
We're ready to go.
Now we're back to reality.
It was disappointing because everything that we talked about literally for the last couple of weeks... Falcons played well against Tampa Bay. Now, your red zone, you struggled. Mm-hmm. You had a first and goal at the 5. You were unable to punch it in. You didn't have a turnover until, unfortunately, the last drive when Matt Ryan tries to force one into triple coverage and it gets intercepted. You had the lead late. You had a 3rd and 19. You had a chance to get a stop. You had 3 people hit a quarterback, and he bounced off and makes a play that, quite frankly, will be played at the end of the year when they do the highlights of the National Football League. That Jameis Winston run is going to be one of them. Shock, I'll start with you. How do you bounce back from a moment like that where you know good and well, at worst, it's going to be 19-19, you getting the ball with a chance to win, and now all of a sudden you lose 23-19?
You know what's so tough about it is I think offensively, when you play a team like Carolina that plays that cloud coverage, that plays that keep you in a two-shell majority of the game, and you're playing against an offense that hasn't scored a lot of points, I think you get into that mindset where Matt got into in that last drive of trying to force things, trying to do a little bit more because you haven't scored a lot of points, you haven't scored a lot of touchdowns, and you're used to doing that. And this is a team that forces you to check it down. It's a team that forces you to keep everything underneath. And watching the game, I don't think there maybe was one explosive play in the game. You didn't have those that you're used to, and it frustrates an offense. And I'm sure, I know Matt probably won't admit it, but it frustrated him that he couldn't get the ball down the field. And at the end of the game, when you had a chance, and, you know, we talk about the Jameis Winston part of it, and they end up scoring and all that, I just think Tampa Bay really had a solid game plan going into the Falcons game. And obviously, there were a lot of different factors in the game. I think there were still some things going on defensively where you missed some tackles, you had a couple misfits, and obviously a 3rd and 19 was a atrocious of a play that I think they're going to look at for a while and say, hey, this was probably our worst defensive play of the year. But I think also on the other line offensively, getting Devontae Freeman the football more. 14 carries, 40-some-odd yards, that's just not going to do it. He is a guy who you have to get at least, I believe, 20 carries a game to get him going. And I read a stat the other day that said something about if he throws for 44 or more times, their record is 6-24. The Falcons' record is 6-24. And that's not to talk bad about Matt or say, you know, he doesn't do a good job when he's throwing it that many times. It just speaks to how well they play when they're more balanced, when they can use the run game and the pass game to get wins. And it's tough to be in so many games where you're losing by 1 point, 3 points, you know, 1 point, you know, in overtime, things like that, where you're so close and you just can't finish it. It's frustrating. And it's been the same thing the last couple of weeks. So I can understand where the Falcons are right now and how frustrating it is to be right there and have a chance to win the game and you don't do it.
Yeah, and for me, I look back at the previous trips into the red zone where you have to settle for a field goal. I mean, you've got to figure out a way to get into the end zone there. I mean, you can't let a team like Tampa that is starting to believe in itself, playing some good football defensively. Jameis is starting to come around and really kind of turn into that quarterback that they expected when they drafted him. and you cannot try to play catch up. Right. You know, you've got to be able to get the ball in the end zone. And you know, the way you know, you get into that 20-yard area, and then it seems like, you know, Devontae Freeman doesn't become part of the game plan. Right. There, it's like running the ball in that area, you can see, has had a detrimental effect to this offense right now. I mean, you think about it from the break, from the bye week, you've scored 5 touchdowns. Okay, 2 of those touchdowns have been Patrick DeMarco, 2 have been Nick Williams, 1 has been Leonard Hankerson. That's a huge red flag to me, because Julio Jones is not in there.
That's a guy.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Devontae Freeman, not in there.
He's another guy.
Roddy White.
You haven't had a rushing touchdown in 25 quarters.
It's been your last 9. Your last 9 touchdowns have been all passing touchdowns.
You guys just depress me even more. It's.
Seriously. I give you something that's positive though. The one drive the Falcons scored came from, I think, Matt Ryan running the show. Mm-hmm. Being in that no-huddle offense, going fast, up-tempo. And we talked about it all the time. It's not something you use all the time, but it's something that you can use in spurts of a game. And when they used it, they went right down the field. Right. And I think the drive took maybe 3 minutes, and that's the score to Nick Williams. They get in there up-tempo, leaving Tampa on the field, making sure they have all the right players on the field, one the type of players that you want to run. So I think that was a critical drive, and it's something to look back on and say, hey, this is a positive. This is right. Something we must build on, because it worked. It got us in the end zone. It didn't. The outcome wasn't a field goal.
But I think you've also got to look back at those games where you really were successful and look at one of the biggest reasons why offensively, and is because you let Devontae Freeman be your workhorse.
Yeah.
You let him get you down there. You let him build that confidence. He is that. I think we've said this. He's that running back where, you know, he's got to get a couple of carries to get in that rhythm. But once he's in that rhythm, it just builds with every carry. So get him the ball, get him the carries, and take it into the red zone, because you know it seems like the Falcons have been trying to just get it done with the pass
right. Inside
that area, and it just doesn't seem to be working.
You know, that's one of the things that we really applauded Kyle Shanahan for early, the first 5 games. I mean, remember the Dallas game, you're down 14-0, 24-14, and they just kept pounding the football.
Yeah.
They didn't go away from it, and eventually those body blows softened up Dallas's defense, and you're able to hit the big shots down the field. But you have 18 carries total this past weekend, and that's between Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman. That's not going to get it done. No. Arch and I and Wes, we talk about this on the pregame coverage on the Falcons Radio Network. You want to get 30 carries.
Yeah.
And I don't care how you split it. If it's 20 for Devontae, 10 for Tevin, if it's 25, get 30 carries. Because it takes the pressure off of Matt, and it makes it easier for you to stay in positive situations, stay ahead of the chain, stay in 2nd and 5s, 3rd and 2. You have a lot more chance for success at 3rd and 2 than you have at 3rd and 13.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the penalties popped up again.
Yeah. Yep.
You had chances where you'd make a big play, and then you get a holding or you know, a clip or whatever, and you're sitting behind the chains. It's tough to move the football when you're behind the chains.
Yeah, it is. And they're coming at inopportune times. Now, you know, I know some people have raised some concerns about Desmond Trufant's penalty there at the end. For me, I would prefer Desmond Trufant to be aggressive.
Right.
He's going to get those calls sometimes. Sometimes they're not going to call that. You know, it's just one of those situations where, you know, was it pass interference? Probably. Mm-hmm. He had his arm wrapped around him, but sometimes he's not going to get that call,
right?
So you want him to be aggressive. You want him to do what he does and be a ball hawk and kind of go after it. But, you know, some of the other penalties that just end up getting you are need to get out of the game plan.
Well, the drive that Tampa goes down and scores, you have 2 personal foul penalties.
Yeah,
that's something that Dan Quinn was livid about.
Yeah.
You cannot have that, because some of those, you want to call them what they are, they're selfish penalties. Mm-hmm. You get a personal foul where you're doing some extracurricular after the whistle or whatever, or you do something where you're leading with a helmet. That's a selfish penalty, and it hurts the football team. And shock, those are plays that, you know, as a player, you kind of look around and go, come on, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah,
we can't have these.
Yeah, you're in a position, especially on a big drive like that, and you know they want to get in the end zone. You know they want to get at least in the field goal range. And those are penalties you just cannot have. You got to be a little bit smarter. I remember Phil had the face mask penalty over there. That's just him trying to make a play. And,
right.
You know, I think he held on to it a little bit longer than he probably wanted to. But that's just him being aggressive, trying to make a play. I can understand that one. But the foolish penalties are ones that set you up for failure. And when you get a team like that, in that type of position who just needs a couple things to go their way, it kind of works out for him. And like you mentioned, gives him that confidence. It tells Jameis Winston, a rookie quarterback, I don't have to do everything. I don't have to force the issue. I don't have to force the ball. Because eventually, something's going to break for us, and it happens.
You know, I've been hearing from a lot of fans on social media when we're talking about, like, Matt Ryan's press conferences or Dan Quinn's press conferences. Oh, they keep saying the same thing, and it's blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. Matt Ryan has said this for a couple of weeks now, but it's absolutely true. He says it's five or six plays in a game that are going to turn the tide for you. And what you have to do is be on the positive side of those plays, right? Mm-hmm. You can look at this game and point out five or six plays that are the exact reason why the Falcons lost that game, right? And in previous games, you've been able to look at five or six plays and say, that's why the Falcons won. Okay, so making sure that you're on the positive side of those plays. You can make some bad plays. It's a football game. It's going to happen, right? But you've got to be able to limit those and then take advantage of the opportunities that you've got, because, you know, you're going to get it. You get a set number of plays in a game, but it's really those five or six that are going to be important.
And Jay, you make a great point, because you look at how many of the Falcons games have come down to the last possession. Mm-hmm. How many games have come down
pretty
to
much all of them?
Except
Minnesota.
To those one or two plays. So you never know which play is going to be that's going to put you over the top, but which play is going to be that's going to set you back and just they're going to run the clock out on you. So you never know. And that's why every play means so much. Every play is so critical, because you never know if it's that play that's going to really turn the tide for your team. And like I just mentioned, you go back to how many games have the Falcons lost by this small of a margin.
It's
how it could be just the other way around. Yeah. Like you said, if you're on the positive side of it, it's a whole other look at the season.
That's the thing. You're on this five-game losing streak, right? And everybody is doom and gloom, right? Everybody's depressed. We're depressed. It's sad.
We know you guys are depressed.
We're all lonely. Like, we want to win so bad. At the same time, in your head, you've got this impression of how the Falcons have played.
Yeah.
Yet you've been in every single game.
Right.
Every single game you've had a chance to win.
It's not like last year. Not like the year before where there were games that, you know, mid-first quarter, you're going, all right, how quick can we get out of here?
Yeah, and I think that's what's so frustrating is you sit there and you're like, well, you know, gosh, you're so close. If you could just do this or that or the other, you know, you're potentially looking at being in the race, you know, for the NFC South title with Carolina. They've already won it now because you just haven't been able to put those couple of things together. But you're close, and that's why I'd still caution people against, you know, throwing out the baby with the bathwater here, because there's still things that are working for this Falcons team.
To be honest, I've never heard that one before.
Oh, that's
throwing out the baby with the bathwater.
You want to keep the baby. You want to get rid of the bathwater.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Keep what's important, right?
Right.
Keep what's important.
Keep what's important.
All right. Well, one thing I just wanted the fans to realize is you look at some of these games and you look at some of your opponents, you say, oh, the Falcons should win. They're playing a team that's under 500 and you should win. You look at San Francisco, the game, and you said, oh, we should no doubt about it win this ball game. But at the end of the day, it comes down to you have to play the game. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, everybody looks at the paper part of it. Everybody looks at the numbers. They look at the stats and look at who they got playing and say, all right, the Falcons should win this game. But at the end of the day, you still have to play the game. And those same particular plays come up, and they have to be made. And I just want people to realize that at the end of the day, yes, the stats are what they are, the numbers and the team and the records are what they are. But at the end of the day, once you get on that field in between those lines, nobody thinks about the stats.
No.
None of the players thinks about the record. All they want to do is beat the man right in front of them. Mm-hmm. And if they do that, then everything else is fine. So that's what it's all about, is winning your individual effort and also winning that particular play. Because we talked about how many times it comes down to it and the records and who they're playing and who's not playing. But it comes down to, guess what? These guys don't get a big check this week. So guess what? There's a reason why they're in the National Football League, regardless of what their record is. If that guy in front of me beats me, it's going
to
be terrible.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that, Shaq. I talked to Howard Schnellenberger a couple of years back at Radio Row in the Super Bowl, and I asked him, and this, you know, goes to my Canes love a little bit, but it kind of goes to what we're talking about here. I asked him, I said, you guys played Nebraska in 1983. Nebraska was considered at that time the greatest college football team in the history. Miami was still Miami of Florida, and everybody said, why are you in the Orange Bowl? And I asked him, I said, you had 6 weeks to prepare for that game. How did you get your kids to look across and see Dean Steinkuhler and Mike Rozier and Turner Gill and Irving Fry? How did you? He said, I looked at them, and I gave them a tape. And I said, I want you to watch the person in front of you that you're going to go against the entire game. Don't watch the play as it happens. Look at the guy in front of you and find his weakness.
Yeah.
Spend 6 weeks finding that weakness and then exploit that weakness on that night. And they were able to do so.
And each guy does that, you got a chance to win. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what it comes down to.
Well, and that kind of fast forwards to this week. You look at Carolina as a team, they are perfect. Mm-hmm. They're undefeated. Mm-hmm. They are playing some really good football. They were challenged last week against New Orleans. I think most of us were watching it on the flight home.
Division game, as they should.
Five touchdowns over from Cam Newton. The defense showed some cracks, cracks in the concrete a little bit, but they were still able to come up with a victory. For everything that's been negative around this town for the last 5 weeks, everybody's disappointed. We know it. We see you guys on Twitter. We try to interact with you as much as we can.
Try.
You want to change the morale around this city? Go to Carolina this week and win.
Yeah.
Do what we were just talking about, Shock. Find the weakness of the guy in front of you and go out and win a football game. Because it's the National Football League, they can win. And I mean meaning the Atlanta Falcons. Right. They can win this game.
How great would it feel to go out and beat the team that knocks off Carolina? Mm-hmm. Right now, all the talk is, Carolina can win it all. Carolina can be undefeated. They can be the next 16-0. And that's what everybody is talking about right now. How great would it feel, not just for the team, for this city, for the fans, for everybody to say, we were the team that knocked them off. With all our problems, with all our issues, with losing five straight, we were the team that knocked them off. Now what?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would motivate not only his team, it would motivate everybody around to give a new excitement for this team going forward. And I think it only propel you, like you mentioned, anything can happen on any given week.
Right.
Just because they're 12-0 don't mean they're going to show up and whatever they do is going to be perfect. We saw last week, like you mentioned, defensively had some things going on. Offensively, they had to score five. Cam had to throw five touchdowns to win the game. I mean, if you have to go extraordinary to win, that means, hey, there's a chance for you to win the game. And my feeling is, I think everything, I don't say it would be forgiven, but you can feel a lot better about your team if you go in and you knock off a 12-0 undefeated team in your division, in their place. It does so much for the morale and does so much for the confidence of your team.
You know, let's not forget that 7 weeks ago we were talking about these two high-speed trains coming at each other for the end of the year and how much of a battle it was going to be. The Falcons are still that team. You know, they've just done some things poorly that they wish they could do better. So if you figure out a way to get back on that track, get back to where you're creating points offensively, you're creating turnovers, you're getting the ball back in the hands of your offense, then suddenly everything can change on a dime. And I know, I'm watching social media all the time. There's so many of our fans that have written us off already. That's fine. I get it, but man, it is the NFL.
Yeah.
And anything can happen on Sunday. As cliche as that sounds, but gosh, I mean, you could definitely go into this place and you could get a win. I mean, everything is right there for you to stop this streak. So I really caution against getting too far ahead of yourself and just being like, well, Sunday's going to be a wash.
Here's what I'll say about Carolina. They are not, and this is not meant to be a shot at Carolina because they're obviously undefeated and they are really good. But they're not the Patriots a few years ago with Tom Brady and Randy Moss where you knew every week you got to score 40 to have a chance. They're not a Green Bay team, or they're not Denver when they had Terrell Davis and John Elway and they're undefeated. They're not Dan Marino's team in 84 where they started 12. My point is, as great as Carolina is, and credit where it's due, when you're 12-0, you are a great football team. They're not a team that overwhelms you.
Yeah,
you don't see great receivers. I mean, Greg Olsen's a phenomenal tight end, and I think our linebackers are going to have to play as well as they ever
have. They got a bunch of guys who play their role.
They
really
play
well.
Their role. Mm-hmm. The one player... Two players on their team to me that are superstars. Luke Kuechly's the best defensive player outside of J.J. Watt, in the National Football League. Yep. And Cam Newton, although his numbers are not overly impressive, if you just looked and you put down just numbers and didn't put whose they were, you'd go, this quarterback stinks.
Right.
But the extracurricular things that he does, what he does, extending drives, picking up first downs, he's a superstar as well.
He's another one of those guys where, the more he does, every play that he's successful with, he builds his confidence even more. He's one of those. Yeah, he's a confidence player. So what you have to do as a defense is get after his confidence. You've got to get after him, bring him down, end some plays, pull in some interceptions, those kinds of things, and you've got to bring his confidence down because so much relies for him on his emotions and his mind state.
And one thing that you brought up that I thought is spot on is his confidence permeates through those other guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It makes those other guys who we say, he's not that good, he's not that special, he's a, you know, second or third receiver, he's not really that good. But he makes those guys up their talent, yeah, up their level, up their confidence as well. So they start making those plays like a number one receiver. They start playing like they should be, you know, a Pro Bowler. And that goes directly to Cam's confidence. And you say it goes on Cam's confidence and it permeates through. His confidence goes through everybody else. Mm-hmm. And if you're able to get to him, mm-hmm, you got a chance to diffuse everything else. So I think that is spot on what you said as far as what Cam brings to that offense and how he fuels everybody around him. And when I was younger, my dad used to always tell me, the best thing that a pretty good or a good quarterback can do is make everybody around him play better. Mm-hmm. And that's the only way you will be successful, if the guys around you buy in and they believe that every time you step on that field, they got something special and they got a chance to win. And I think Cam is doing that for everybody on that offense right now, with those extending plays, with the extracurriculars, with everything they do in the end zone. Like, I mean, you think about it, every time they score, it started as Cam just giving the football to everybody else. Mm-hmm. Now everybody else is doing it.
Yeah.
Things like that are just because he's built that kind of mind frame, yep, throughout his offense, and the guys play with that same kind of intensity, that same kind of effort every time they step on the field.
And it's easy to see why his teammates believe in him so much. I mean, yeah, he's a special player, yeah, absolutely, no doubt. But it's the confidence. It's – you know, just that aura that he brings to the huddle, to, you know, the end zone after he, mm-hmm, scores, that gets these other guys to rally around him. He's got a great personality, one of those personalities, the kind of guy you want to be around, right, a lot. And guys are just drawn to it. It's easy to believe in a guy like that. And when you start making big plays, once you see Cam Newton having fun, you know you're in trouble.
That's why you got to get to him.
You, yeah, got to get to him.
You got to frustrate him. He needs to have a, yeah, bad quarter or something. Cause
you got to either bring him to the ground, or you've got to create some interceptions. Absolutely. There, because that's the only way. You got to rattle his confidence. You do that, everything will kind of fall into place. Now, yeah, you've got one heck of a defense that you're going to have to contend, right, with, for sure. I mean, that defense has really kept them in a lot of games.
They've been the top of the National Football League for the last 4 weeks. I know that defensively in every category. So they're playing at a high level.
Now, mm-hmm, they're playing at a high level, but I want to bring something up to kind of tie this back to the Falcons. And I want, Shock, I want you to talk about Thomas Davis, because I know that's your guy as well. Panthers last year started 3-8-1. Mm-hmm. They haven't lost since then, other than the playoff game. 3-8-1, and people were ready to run Ron Rivera, yep, and everybody else out of town. This is where I'll look in the camera. Face at it. Wherever, whichever one you want to use, Bo Sec. We'll use that one. Falcon fans, calm down. It can turn around in this league really quickly. My point is, Ron Rivera was supposed to be fired at 3-8-1. Yeah. People were sick of Cam Newton. Remember, he gets in a car accident.
Yeah.
Lucky for him, you know, he was safe and alive. And now all of a sudden this team is the talk of the NFL. Just relax.
I mean, look at – I still go back to 2011 with the Giants, and – you know, week six, week seven, they were calling. I mean, how often have they been calling for Tom Coughlin's job, and he finds a way to turn it around at, yeah, the end of the year?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, right now.
And Eli Manning for that matter.
Yeah. Right now you're saying, I think I saw it tweeted out as I was walking down to film, the Falcons have like a 1.6% chance of making the playoffs, right?
Mm. So you're saying there's a chance.
Right? So I get it. But, you know, you've got a lot to still play for. Mm-hmm. You can get yourself into a great position for the offseason. You're hoping to win out and hoping to have some help so that maybe you can sneak in the back door of the playoffs here. But, you know, you've got to play for pride, mm-hmm, along with everything else. And I think that you can get that confidence going the way that the Panthers did last year at the end of the year. I mean, you can get things going, yeah, in a positive direction for the future by really putting together a solid four games.
And John, you talked about how they were about to run him off, and mm-hmm, how they started last year. They were 3-8, and now they've turned it around. And I think it all has a lot to do with Luke Kuechly, who was a big part of that defense. Cam obviously has played really well, and it goes to the leadership. But, you know, Thomas Davis is a good friend of mine. We came to Georgia together, same recruiting class. And the type of demeanor, the type of mentality that he has, mm-hmm, is above and beyond what you can ever think of. He has the most when I say a guy works hard, it's an understatement for him. He really loves the game. He enjoys being on the field. He enjoys running. And I mean, you never heard a guy say he loves to hit. This guy loves to hit. This guy loves to get after you. He's grown into one of the best leaders on that team. I've heard numerous stories about, you know, he's the guy who's breaking everybody down defensively. He's the guy that's breaking the team down. He is the leader of that team, and rightfully so. He's been there a long time now and overcome all the injuries, and everybody knows he was the man of the year last year, all that kind of stuff. But I think his mentality of when he plays safety at Georgia, he was downhill, he was ferocious, he was throwing his body around, and he did everything for the other 10 guys on the field. And I think that's what helped him become one of the players he is now in the National Football League, leading that, you know, that top defense. And he's another guy that he's like, whenever we came into an offensive game plan, we had to find a couple guys who we had to say, all right, we got to make sure we know where they're at. Obviously, Kuechly is one of those guys. Thomas is one of those guys as well. He's one of those guys. If Kuechly's not making the play, Thomas is making the play. If Thomas not making, Kuechly's making the play. And they have – his instincts are above and beyond what I thought a lot of guys are. And just seeing him go to the linebacker, he has such great instincts. He sees stuff really well. And the Falcons got to do a good job of getting on him.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, if you have a double block and you got to get from the defensive tackle up to the linebacker so that Devontae can get through, you better make sure you get through. Because if you don't get through, he's going to outrun you. If he sees it before you, he's going to outrun you to that spot. Not only is he big, he's fast, he's physical, he doesn't mind taking on blocks. So it's one of those things where the Falcons have to know where he is, because he is going to be running.
Right.
And if you have to get to him, you better make sure you get to him, because if not, he's going to disrupt it. You can have all 10 players blocked. If he's the one guy that's unblocked, he's going to make the play. So he's obviously a really great football player. And obviously I've known him for years now, and this is nothing to boost him up, but he is just one of those guys who you enjoy watching, just like Luke Kuechly. They go hand in hand together.
I'm going to jump on this train myself, and because I covered a couple of youngsters at the University of Georgia in a former life as a newspaper writer. One is sitting to my left, and the other one was Thomas Davis. And watching him play was just – it was like – at the time he was playing – forgive me if I'm wrong, but wasn't he playing safety at that point?
Yeah.
He was playing safety at UGA, plays linebacker now. But you watched him play, and you're like, this kid is Ronnie Lott.
Yeah.
He is that kind of player where he is just completely has no regard for his body whatsoever, and he is just out there mauling people. And then you talk to him off the field, and you get a sense of the kind of person he is.
Right. Cool dude.
And my God, he is just an amazing human being. Does so much for the community and all that. So I have so much respect for Thomas Davis. Just a great guy all around, but gosh, I hope he has a bad day.
Real quick before we get to the break with Bosek, you talk about humanitarians and what they do in the community. Patrick DeMarco, got to mention his name.
You have to, and keep tweeting out that hashtag on also Facebook, Instagram. It's DeMarco WP.
OMY.
It's on Twitter. I don't know why they came up with such a long hashtag, but I would have advised against that. But keep tweeting it out. Every tweet that you get out with that hashtag goes as a vote for Patrick to, I think, eventually become the NFL's Walter Payton Man of the Year, and also to potentially earn $20,000 for children's healthcare.
WPMOY
Challenge. DeMarco WPMOY Challenge. Bosek, put it up right.
That's where it'll go.
That's where it'll go. Somewhere down in this area. But get that hashtag out there, and let's help Patrick earn $20,000 for children's healthcare.
Nice.
I mean, it's awesome. Patrick is so active in the community, and he never gets any kind of recognition for it. Gosh, he's always out there, and it's just amazing to see the difference that he makes in people's lives.
Pat, also, congrats. He's got a baby on the way in February.
Yes, nice.
So,
yes, that's true. And congrats to you guys. Sports Illustrated had the Falcons social media team third best.
Third best Twitter follow.
Yes, there you go.
Three times.
One, two, three.
Now, the Panthers are number one.
And I will say, they're rain on our parade.
And I will say, my colleague over at the Panthers does a phenomenal job at social media. it's easy to do when you win. Mm-hmm. And so I'm gunning for you, buddy.
Go get him.
I'm coming for that number one spot. I'm coming for that. James, but no, the Panthers do a phenomenal, phenomenal job on social media. Even if I was just a fan and or whatever, I would follow them because they are hilarious and they pull no punches. But keep an eye out this offseason. You might see some more NFC South battles.
Was that a little wink right there? A little wink.
Don't forget, check us out on iTunes. You can find FalconCast. Just search for FalconCast. Hit the subscribe button. You can get each week's episode on the go.
Also, review it. Give us a review. Even if you don't like it, just tell us you don't like it.
We'd love to hear it.
Yeah, we would love to hear it.
We also love everybody who does.
But if you give us a positive review, that's great. But if there's
a negative review, we'll just ignore you. Oh, sir, we do not want to ignore you as it's time to break with you.
Appreciate that, John. So did you guys see that car chase in Seattle this past week?
No. Did not.
I missed it.
That should have been the video of the week then. No. There was a car chase, and the police department released a video. It looked pretty cool to me. Just interesting. Everyone was fine. They caught the guy.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Good. How long was it?
I don't know how long. The video I watched was like cut up.
Okay.
But I was wondering if you guys have ever witnessed a car chase, or if you haven't, what's like the craziest thing you've witnessed involving the police or security?
Now, you're talking about live, like being there, seeing something go down?
I saw a pretty cool car chase one time.
Yes.
Okay. Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow, nice.
And it was a guy, and he was in like a white Bronco. And he was in L.A.
Bosek wasn't born yet.
He was riding down the street, man. He had another guy driving for him, and you know, I don't know if he played some sport or something.
That went on for a long time, too.
That was a heck of a chase.
Sorry, Bosek. That was the only car chase I got.
Heck of a chase.
I've not seen one live. There was one, and I want to say it was in Denver, that the guy turned into Grand Theft Auto. And I'm not trying to make light of this at all, but he literally drove, and it's snowing, and he crashed the car, and he jumped out. And he did, if you've ever played the game Grand Theft Auto, he actually pulled somebody out of a car, jumped in their car. It was scary. And this went on for probably 40 minutes.
Wow.
And of course, as a typical American, I'm glued to the TV like, dude, this guy, he's getting away. I don't know what goes through somebody's head. You're not getting away. I'm here to tell you, if you're watching this, well, hopefully you're not a criminal watching this, but if you are, you're not getting away. When the cops are chasing you, you're getting caught.
Aerial's coming.
When they have the helicopter, it's not like the video game where you can go hide underneath the bridge and your star count goes away. They're going to catch you. They're going to find you. But I've never seen anything live.
They're going to find you?
Gosh. And I haven't witnessed anything now. You use the term security here, and we all know my past with security with this 2015.
We haven't discussed that, and we're not going to.
But I haven't witnessed anything live, but I will tell you that when I lived in Savannah, there was this, my friends told me about this car chase video that was online that I just had to see. It was in Garden City, which is right next to Savannah. And like they kept telling me, you got to see this thing. It's amazing. So finally I go look at it. And what it is it's this cop that's chasing this car, and it's dark, and they're on this dirt road. So there's dust flying up and everything like that. And all of a sudden the car in the front just turns the car 90 degrees, right? Fast pace, just turns the car, turns left, and like just disappears. And you see the cop turn.
Nothing.
And there's a chain link fence that's still upright. And the car drove. You could see the taillights on the other side, but the chain link fence still up.
So he hit it so hard, it just...
So there's a lot of theories about this. Mm-hmm. And they used to... a lot of people were like, oh, it was a ghost car. It was a ghost car. It wasn't a ghost car. Huh. It wasn't a ghost car. So what probably happened is that the chain link is held up, you know, by little clips on the side. So the clips probably allowed the fence to kind of open like a garage door and then come slam back down. But what was amazing is by the time the police car had turned and the camera was facing this chain link fence,
it wasn't moving.
But you could see the taillights in the distance. You're like, how did he just do that? It was amazing. It's really an impressive. Look it up on YouTube. Okay. It's an impressive chase, but it's not a ghost. Okay, it's not a ghost.
I do have one for security though. Jay, you were obviously there as well. A couple of years ago, Matt Bosher was getting ready to punt, and I don't remember where we were. And a guy just sprints on the field. Right, Bosher never sees him. Literally runs right past Bosher, and security again Security's going, you run on a field, you're going to lose. And security caught him, and they powerbombed this guy.
Nice form tackle.
I asked Bosher, he goes, I had no idea the guy was there until he ran past me. Like, Bosher's locked in, ready to receive.
And Bosher would have tackled him.
He would have tackled him.
If he would have seen him, he would have tackled him.
Which would have made it awesome.
Bosher looks to tackle.
It's amazing. It never fails. You'll go every other road trip that we go to. Matt Bryant, who's always the first one on the field for his warm-ups, always gets hassled by security about where his credential is because they don't believe he's a player. They don't believe he's a player.
Seriously.
He has to, like, go and get a coach or something, you know, and be like, I don't need a credential.
I'm actually the kicker.
Coming out happened in New York, I think.
Is awesome.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that happened in New York this
year. In New York, they wouldn't let him on the field.
He literally could not come on the field.
That's crazy. Yeah, there's been times I've never been touched for credential.
Wow.
And I've got on a pole.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
They just look at me like, I have one. He's a crazy person. What do we have as video of the week, Bosa?
Video of the week.
Just says tree.
Tree. I like
tree.
These.
I like to keep it vague for you guys.
No, I do.
This is a short video.
Short video. All right.
Which tree? Any but tree?
The just tree watch. On the left.
I'm sure we'll figure it out
here. Oh.
Uh-oh. Oh.
Falls.
Oh! Dog, it was almost in the clear.
Oh.
They almost saved the good table.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh. Yeah.
All right, honey, do you want to move the table before we cut down? Nah, it'll be fine.
So there's a science to cutting down a tree.
You got
to
do it in sections,
man. I don't know if this cut down or this just fell down.
I'm not sure.
This had to have been cut, right?
Not necessarily. I had a tree fall in my backyard like that. Just it had rained.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying they won't, but it looks like because they had a camera set up, it'd be tough to anticipate.
I mean,
the tree
that table's pretty sturdy, though. I mean.
But it looks like they, you know, if you're going to fall a tree.
Look at the framework. It never even breaks.
You got to love how you can see the branch just.
splatter.
Our podcast listeners are.
They have no idea.
No idea.
That's why you check out the video online at falcons.com.
Yep. Tell them again one time.
There you go. I like that. It's a good video.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Now, what's not good? Picks to click. And I'm just going to take my mic and move it over here.
Yeah. You're not.
I'm done.
So let's remind everybody last week what we did. John is the kiss of death for everyone mm-hmm. who he picks. So we decided that he would pick an opposing team's player mm-hmm. in hopes that it would jinx that player. So John chose Bucks linebacker Lavonte David. Lavonte David was not jinxed. In fact, he had 11 tackles, 2 for a loss, 1 pass deflection, and an interception that ended the game. So, John, you have been disqualified for the rest of the year. You will not pick anymore.
Well, see, there's 4 games left.
And
right?
May God have mercy on your soul.
There's 4 games left. John would have to win all 4.
Well, then I'm still in this thing.
To take the lead.
So you're saying there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I got hate on Twitter. People, you really took? Yeah, I took Lavonte David. But you were trying to be funny.
Your heart was in the right place.
Yeah.
And it worked out awesome. And
I just wish I could pick somebody on the Falcons that would have that kind of. When I pick somebody on the Falcons, they don't dress.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happened. So Bosek ended up winning last week. Paul Warlow, 10 tackles, a forced fumble, and a tackle for a loss. Shock and Bosek tied for the lead with 4.
Nope. Yep. Oh, well, this isn't updated.
No.
What correct, happened?
Because I didn't update that because we were going to debate it before the podcast to see who won.
Gotcha. All right. So you guys are tied for the lead. Bosek, who went 0-for.
Right, for like the first 6 weeks.
I was
weeks
goose
of the
egg
season.
For a while.
Yeah.
Because I was picking true fine week by week.
True fine.
I changed my strategy up.
Ha! We made you change your strategy.
Again, my only win is Devontae Freeman way back when.
And that was when we stopped doing it.
Yeah.
We stopped allowing Devontae. Okay.
All right, I'll go last because it doesn't matter. Jay, you have the next best chance to win, so you get to go first this week.
All right. Well, okay. Well, I am going to go with Desmond Trufant this week.
Oh, right. Baby.
I think it could be instrumental.
Okay.
All right.
Shock?
I
haven't won in a while, so.
I know. Me. It's been a while, man, you know. He's taking Warlow all the time, so we're not going to do that. Warlow has to be one of those guys you can't take anymore. I mean, he always wins. He's going to get 1,000 tackles anyway. But
he had a forced fumble.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with a guy who's going to have a chance to make a lot of plays because this is a very good offense, and I like Adrian Claiborne. I'm going to go with Claiborne. He's going to be a chance to get some tackles, get some – Cam likes to run, to get Adam a little bit. So I'm going with Mr. AC.
You sure you're going?
I'll go last. I mean, I don't deserve to go anywhere but last.
Don't pick Warlow again.
I'm not picking – that was my first time picking Warlow, first of all. And second of all, I'm going to go with Jacob Tammy.
Okay.
Tight end.
Just got to remember, they got some good linebackers, so they're going to be covering Jacob Tammy.
That's fine.
Yeah,
Hey,
I'm just saying.
He's got
you watch, Shaq.
Wow.
Okay. All right. I like it, Bo. I like it.
I'm going to take a guy who will be the last line of defense this week. And Cam does like to throw it down the field, and this guy seems to make plays on the football.
Ricky.
Carter Allen.
I like
Ricardo
it.
Allen.
Rico.
There you go.
It's a good pick. I'm surprised none of us have taken him to this point. I don't think anybody's picked him.
And he's made some plays
this year. He's had a fantastic year.
He has.
All right, guys. I feel better now that I got sort of cathartic.
This
I got some
like
stuff out of
this. This is like therapy for us, and I hope it's like therapy for you guys listening at home.
Appreciate you guys for listening. Appreciate you guys for watching. Do not dab. We are not dabbing.
We're not going to dab. We're not going to dab.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. Angry at the TV.
Jay threw a wiffle ball. Oh, that's two.
I threw my...